Welcome to the weekend, First Five friend. Today we have a treat for you. We have Dr. Joel Mutamale joining us to share insights into our week one of Theology 101 study. And today, Joel will have us in Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, in case you have your Bible with you. And he's going to take us into a deeper place in biblical theology. And as always, I know you'll glean much wisdom and enjoy the teaching he's prepared for us. So Joel, we're ready to hear what God laid on your heart.
Thanks so much, Wendy. And, you know, it's such a blessing for me to be able to do this, especially with our First Five friends. And just a quick side note, I get to have the incredible opportunity to kind of go out and travel a bit and speak and teach. And I know, Wendy, you do as well. And one of the things that we just absolutely love is when we get to meet all of you in person. And this weekend, I was in Nashville, actually, the last 24 hours, and had quite a few people at this event that I was at that came up and just said, you know, my first interaction was with First Five, and just talking about the impact that it's had on their lives. And it's just been such a joy and such an honor for us to consistently just work through the scriptures, work through the text, and hopefully just continually point you to the purpose that the scriptures are pointing us to, which is to Jesus himself. And so I just wanted to start with that.
Joel, can I interrupt you for just one second? What I wanted to say on top of what you just said, Monty and I flew to California this weekend, and we were sitting on the plane as people were boarding, and I had a woman named Sharon come up and stop me and ask if I was Wendy Blight that was on First Five. And I said, yes. And it was so fun. And she just said the very same things. And so thank you for bringing that up, because it really, please, if you see any of us, don't hesitate to come up, because it truly, I mean, for the rest of the flight, I was on cloud nine, knowing that I got to meet someone that she does the app every day and does the weekend teaching. So, okay, now you can start, Joel.
Well, because you did that, I'll give a little more detail. I was at the premiere of The House of David season 2. And it was just really amazing, because we've done studies through 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. And I had about four or five people that actually did the study, and they actually ended up connecting with each other, and they didn't know each other. But when they were talking to me, they kind of had that connection point. And it was just fun to be able to kind of exercise that theological muscle of, oh, here's where The House of David has done some really helpful things. Oh, here's where the creative license is and how that's playing in. And this is why it's so important to be students of God's word, so we really know what the text is saying. And so thank you, Wendy, for adding to that, because that is so true, y'all. If you see me out and about, please come and say hi. It would just make my day. Fair warning, if I'm with my kids, you might see a very human Joel in the midst of whatever is happening with my kids, but it will be very, very exciting for me to be able to say hi to you and just to share our love for God's word together. Well, we're in a really exciting series, Theology 101, and you know, we are testing out some new approaches in First Five, and I'm really excited about it, because at the very heart of what we do at Proverbs 31 Ministries is really this kind of mission statement that Lisa Turker said to me over 10 years ago of what she had on her heart for Proverbs and what Proverbs has been pursuing since I've been here in the ministry for over 9 years, and that is eradicating biblical poverty. And so we know today more people have access to the Bible than ever before, and yet it seems that biblical literacy and moving beyond just reading the Bible to actually understanding what it says and what that means for you and I today has been not necessarily in a decline, but a challenge. And so I'm really excited for this specific series, because we're going to step behind the scenes a little bit, working through the text and also giving you a little bit of behind the curtains of how to once again move beyond just reading the Bible, but actually stepping into understanding it, which is the first step before you can apply it. And Wendy, I know you're just an incredible Bible teacher. I always learn so much from you when you teach the Bible. And one of the things I just so love about what you do and model for us is you often slow us down from jumping right to application, right to what does the text mean to me? And first asking, like, wait, what did the text actually mean to the original audience? And so this time together, if you're going to write down two kind of keywords, it's going to be two kind of perspectives, really. Actually, it's not even perspectives, because that's one of the words. It's two approaches to the text that we need to have. And so the two words, the first word is posture, and the second word is perspective. And so for Theology 101, as we kind of kick off these next few weeks, I want us to keep in mind what is our posture to the scriptures, and also what is our perspective in regard to what the scriptures are actually teaching us. In order to do this, I want to turn to two verses of the Bible that are like so famous, they're so popular, and they're also very intimately and intricately connected to each other, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. And so I'm going to read first from the Old Testament. And if you're like, oh, I need a second to flip there, it's going to be really easy because it's Genesis chapter 1. So just open to the very beginning of your Bible and open up to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was covering over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." This is kind of the origin story, essentially, of humanity and of creation. And there's so much that we could do in this one verse, but I want us to just pay attention to the condition of what creation is looking like. It is the key phrase here in verse 2 is that the earth was without form, that it was void. But then also look at the posture of the Holy Spirit in relationship to all of creation. So the perspective is this, that it was formless and without void. The posture is that the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. Now, I want us to jump to John chapter 1 before we dig in super deep. And in John chapter 1, it says this, "In the beginning," and at this point, every good Jewish boy and Jewish girl would go, "Wait a minute, I've heard this before." And John says, "In the beginning was the Word." And you're thinking, wait a minute, in Genesis 1, if you just flip back, I'm just flipping back and forth in my Bible right now. If you look back, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." So almost if you went back to Genesis chapter 1, you could fill in some gaps here. You could say, "In the beginning was the Word." And God, or the Word, created the heavens and the earth. Well, Joel, how do you know that? Check this out. "In the beginning," in John chapter 1, "was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." This is so wild to me, so fascinating, because what you have with John chapter 1 is essentially a commentary on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and it is giving us not something new, but it's revealing to us that the Greek word apokalypsis, it actually means revelation. Think of like a magician that has a cloth over a table, and you just see the cloth over the table the entire time, you don't know what's underneath it, but there's something underneath it, and that thing isn't changing, it's just the thing that's underneath it. And then all of a sudden the magician takes the cloth off and you see whatever is underneath it. And this is kind of what John is doing in the New Testament in regards to Genesis 1 in the Old Testament. He's saying, hey, this has already been there, but now here's a apocalypsis. Here's a revelation that lets us know what's actually taking place. And so what's actually taking place is that in Genesis 1, you have God the Father and you have God the Spirit that are like put on display visibly. And now in John chapter 1, you have God the Son that is put on display. And this is where we would get the concept, the doctrine of the Trinity, the triune God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God." And then 3, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And so back to Genesis 1, the two words of posture and perspective. In the ancient world, and those of you that have been following along with me for any amount of time know that I love to do nerdy ancient Near Eastern culture context. And one of the things I kind of joke about is in today's culture and context, we think of the sea, and we think of the sea as like this fun place to do a day out on the boat, you know? And for some people, it's like, oh, the sea, then there's a beach maybe that's, you know, leading up to the sea. Oh, this would be a great day, like if it's sunny outside, to go and get a tan. Well, some of y'all can have the tan. I'm Indian, so I'm doing totally fine. I don't need the tan. But I mean, you know, this is how we think of it when we allow our 21st century understanding to be imposed into the text. And what I would love for us to do is take a step back and be like, wait, no, what is actually happening here? The sea for the ancient peoples was an image of chaos and destruction. it was an image of fright, really, and terror. It was disordered. You couldn't control the sea. But notice what happens in Genesis 1. You've got the face of the waters or the sea, and then also you have the Spirit of God who is hovering over the waters. What does the Spirit of God do? The Spirit of God, all throughout Scripture, brings life, brings order, and brings people to God. The Spirit of God, all throughout Scripture, brings life, brings order, and draws people to the Father. And then with a little bit of New Testament context, we could also add a little fourth thing, would illuminate people, while drawing people to the Father, would illuminate Jesus the Son, who is the way to the Father. You see this? Like, it's all of this is beautifully interconnected with each other. Now, this goes back to our two words, posture and perspective. I want us to notice that the posture of the Spirit is over the waters. And because the posture is the Spirit over the waters, the very next thing that we get in Genesis chapter 1 is a series of separations in order to create order, in order to create shalom, peace, a rightly ordered world. And what's super fascinating is in verse 2, right before you got the Spirit hovering over the waters, you have this phrase, formless and void. The Hebrew phrase here is toho va-boho, and I can hear our friend Lisa in the back of my mind saying, Joel, spell it for him. So I'm going to spell it T-O-H-U, toho va-w-a, boho, B-O-H-U. That's kind of roughly the transliteration of that phrase, and this exact same phrase is used throughout the Bible to describe wasteland and wilderness. And again, this is poetic imagery. This is descriptive language. What's in the wilderness? Scary things are in the wilderness. When do people go to the wilderness? When they're in terror, when they're in fear, when, they're running for their lives. You think of the Israelites in the wilderness. Well, who meets us in the wilderness? The Spirit of God meets us in the wilderness, God himself, right? And he leads us out of the wilderness. And so instantly you have this posture. And the posture is that the Spirit of God is over the waters, and it also connects us to John chapter 1, where now you have Jesus who is the light. And what does light do? Light shines in the darkness. Light reveals what is hidden. Light brings comfort to the unease. And so as we go through Theology 101, and as you're kind of learning how to read and move from just reading the Bible to understanding it, I'd want us to consider, what is our posture to the Scriptures? There's a famous saying I don't even know if anybody knows who originally said it, but you know, the Bible itself, sometimes we can come to the Bible as if like we can master the Bible. But we ought never to come to the Bible to master it, but rather we come to the Bible as students that the Bible might master us. So this is our posture. The posture is, instead of looking down at the text as if we are the ones on top, hovering over the text in authority, we recognize like, no, we are kind of an image of the sea. We have a chaotic life. We've got sin that has really messed us up. And we need hope. Well, who hovers over us? The Spirit of God is hovering over us. The Spirit of God is leading us. The Spirit of God is rightly ordering you and I. And so my first kind of big idea is, I would love for us, as we approach God's Word, every time you open up God's Word, that our posture would be not one of superiority, but one of submission. There would be a people who come to the text, submitted to the text as the Spirit of God hovers over us and brings order to our life as we submit to his leading. The second thing is perspective. The perspective here is that in the midst of wilderness, in the midst of wasteland, in the midst of this sea chaotic image, that the Spirit of God is bringing life, that the Spirit of God is bringing hope, that the Spirit of God is going to places that are dead and in decay and renewing and restoring. And in fact, this is what John 1 is saying, that that Jesus is the one who is light, in him was life, verse 4. Well, to say that in him was life means that outside of him, there is no life. So if you and I want true life, we go to Jesus. In him, in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. Interesting, the Spirit of God is also imaged as light. Fire, what does fire do? Brings light. It brings visibility. fire can also be a source of sustaining us to ensure life for us. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so the second idea is perspective. What is our perspective as we read through the Bible? Well, I would want to suggest my thesis idea is that our perspective as we read throughout the Bible is a perspective of God desiring us to see him rightly so that we could walk rightly. And in order to like see him rightly and to walk rightly, we need our ears attuned to him so we can hear him. And so our perspective throughout the Bible is to see how God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and under the authority of God the Son, is leading us, is bringing us out of the darkness and into the light, is taking us away from the chaos and bringing us into a rightly ordered life that can only be found in and through him. And so like the narrative structure of Genesis through Revelation, the through line of Scripture is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the supremacy of Christ. This is all throughout Colossians and Philippians, and it is the kingship of God the Father. And so hopefully kind of these big ideas of posture and perspective will help be some anchors, serve as some anchors, some pillars for you as you're reading through the text and as you're exploring different strategies of how to read and different areas of kind of theological discipline, that that there is something so simple to this, you know? It's that God is leading us, that he is supreme, we submit to him. But then also that God is not just leading us aimlessly, he's leading us to himself, and himself is life. And that's what we long for. It's that dead hearts would come alive. So hopefully this is going to be helpful for you over the next couple of weeks as we study Theology 101.
Okay, I like took so many notes, Joel. Thank you so, so much. What I like about, and thank you for the compliment you paid me at the beginning. What I like about you is how you can take really complicated things and just make most of us be able to understand them. So thank you for the gift of that today, as we really, this is preparing us, y'all, not just for these two theologies and the Bible study we do on our own, but we are so excited to invite you to walk into our 40 days through the, what is it, Joel? 40 days through the New Testament, I think. Yeah. Is that what it is? I want to make sure I say the title right.
Yeah.
Because I'm speaking this off of the top of my head. but with this, if you do not have this study guide yet, please come and get it. If you love 40 days through the Bible, which Joel and I had the privilege of helping with, this is going to be like that. It's just going to take us really deep, and we're going to cover some really solid biblical material. But at the same time, we're going to really help you apply it to everyday life and give you language and confidence and equipping to be able to share what you learn with other people.
That's right.
So let me close us in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you always for every person that you bring to us at First Five. And thank you for the sweet opportunities Joel and I have had. And I've heard these stories from a few of our teachers, that we just get to meet our First Five friends, and those truly are divine appointments. So Father, thank you for this time to spend with you. Set apart time on the weekend with you and your word as we seek to know with confidence what we believe about the Bible and why we believe it. Help us not to be intimidated or afraid, but to know that you are wanting to lead us into the light. We just have to, as Joel said, be humble and submit ourselves. And so we trust you have wonderful things to reveal to us, yes, through the next 2 weeks, but also way into the studies that we do in the next year. Teach us more about you, about your word and your people, and Lord, about ourselves. Meet with us each day as we open your word, because Lord, we want to learn from you. Tuck the truths and promises that we learn deep into our souls. And I just pray, Lord, may our faith never be the same. Never, ever be the same. May we never be the same for the time we spend with you these next few weeks. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.